You know, what we're listening to in this gospel today is Jesus teaching Peter and really all of us growing up religion, growing up faith. And he keeps saying to Peter, "Do you love me?" And he says it over and over again. And then he says, "Now, Peter, you may have an idea of what that means, but now I'm going to tell you." And he uses that great line. He said, "Now, when you were younger," and that we might interpret that not as in terms of age, but if we were to substitute something and said, When your idea of religion was in the early stages, when you were first learning, so when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted to go." And then he says, "But when you grow older," and again, not necessarily just physically growing older, but when you grow up in your faith, when you become wiser, if you will, "you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." It seems that the great challenge of following Christ and being a disciple is in many ways counterintuitive to everything that we are taught, everything that we've come to believe. Because what we come to believe in the very beginning is life is about success, and life is about achieving, and life is about making a name for yourself. Now, one of the great, I think this really is an irony, but one of the things that's really important is for every one of us, when we start out, we need those experiences that says, you're really a good person. You belong. And we need those people to come along and say, "You've done a great job here. You know, you've been really good here. You've affected a lot of people. You've made a name for yourself, and that's really good." Every one of us needs that. We need that kind of confidence. We need to know that we belong, that we have a place, that we have something to offer, that our life has meaning and substance. Every one of us needs that. And I tell you, if we don't get that, we'll spend most of our life trying to achieve that. We need it, and we seek that assurance from especially our parents. And if we're lucky, we have moms and dads who are able to mother us and father us and give us that. Now, here's the irony, that you need all of that so that now you can start this journey of being a follower of Jesus, of being a disciple. And this journey of being a disciple is not about you anymore. You're not the center of the world. This journey is not about achievement. It's not about success. It's not about building a name for yourself. Now, believe me, it's a little hard to get your head around that, because it almost seems contradictory. You know, you say, well, I thought you said everybody needs that when they're young. And you're right. Everybody needs that. And then when you grow up, you got to be wise and be able to let it all go. Got to be able to let it all go. Now, all of you, I think, who have been around the block a few times, as they say, when somebody says to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted to go, and when you got older, someone else will dress you and lead you into places you did not really want to go. And all of you who have been around the block a few times can find yourself saying, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, I think I know what that's like. Because life tends to send us lots of experiences for us to learn that. I was just telling people just couple of days ago, a young woman, Katie Rabin, died of cancer. Some of you know her. I know I saw Cindy there. I think that's your niece. Yeah. Now, she had cancer, and so the fact that she died is not necessarily surprising. The fact that she died this quickly probably is. But y'all, some of you remember Nick, her husband. That's Tom and Clara Rabin's son, Nick, growing up here, you know. So he gets married, and, you know, they have kids. What is it, 2 and 5 and 7? I think he's got 4 kids now. Now he's got to put his life together. I'm like, holy mackerel. What that's, you talk about a curveball in life. Now what do you do? Now what do you do? Or you think about someone who maybe gets their dream job, and gosh, they're kind of set, you know, they got the job, it's providing them with money, they're able to raise their family and pay the bills, and, you know, just everything seems really good, and all of a sudden they go to work and they say, ah, your position is being eliminated. We don't have a place for you anymore. Another curveball. Or some of you who, you know, when you raise kids and all of a sudden you think about your kid gets sick, and then you go to the doctor and you say, well, actually he's got a rare form of leukemia. Success rate isn't too much for that. And you think, that was not part of the plan. Or you think about a young person, you know, who's growing up and trying to come to terms with who they are as a person and their own sexual identity. And they realize, I'm a little different from a lot of people. Can I even talk to anybody about that? And then if they have the courage, you know, they go to parents and they talk about, you know, I think I'm gay. I think I'm a lesbian. Now, for them, you know, talk about a curveball in life. Now what do you do with that? Or for the parents, and believe me, there are parents in this parish, more than any of you would ever want to know, who have had to deal with this question. Now what do we do? And all of a sudden, you know, you think about them and they're, and they have a son or a daughter that they love. And you agonize with them because you know how ostracized they might feel. And then you go to work, or you go to a men's club meeting, or you go to some other gathering and you hear people speak about gays, crazy people, and you think, that's my son, that's my daughter. Or you think about, and this happened with families here in our parish too, you know, they come home and they say, this is my partner, and we want to make a life together. And you think, wow, how do I get my head around that? And then you stand in the midst of people, or you hear all of these political slogans talking about LGBT people and what kind of crazy people they are, and by God, we're going to stand together, we're going to be against all of that. And all of a sudden you say, ask my daughter, ask my son. When you get old, someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not necessarily want to go. So you find yourself in those and you say, now, what are you asking of me, God? What are you asking of me here? And even if I didn't know anyone who was gay or lesbian, I know somebody else who's been dealing with that. Now, how's that going to change the way that I look at things? Same thing can happen. I'm sure it's happened here. You know, we got a lot of talk about immigration reform and, you know, who to get rid of and all that. There are people in our community, I'm sure, who don't have a green card, you know? And you know what happens? All of a sudden those kids are in school. We don't know any of these people. They're just these nameless people. But all of a sudden, we have a daughter who goes to school, and she's become friends with Juan. And then all of a sudden, you meet Juan. He comes over to the house, and you say, he's a pretty nice guy. He's nice to my daughter. That's really good. Juan's a really nice kid. And you say, oh, my God, you know, his parents are going to be deported now. Well, I know Juan. In fact, I met his mom and dad. Oh my. Now what do I do with that? When you are old, someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Now, will you come and follow me? Changes everything. Changes everything. So, our challenge here, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, is fundamentally to say yes to life. I don't know where that's going to take me. I don't know what it's going to ask of me. I kid a lot of times. I go around and I'm seeing some of our elderly parishioners, and I say, you know, if I get old and incapacitated, right now I'm going to try to be nice to every old person that I know, because when I get to that situation, I want somebody to be nice to me, you know. And I hope I'm not a cranky old son of a gun. You know? Who knows what will be asked of us? And can we allow whatever happens to us to transform our lives. That's really the invitation that Jesus gives to Peter when he says, now come and follow me. Come and follow me. And what we know about Peter is that's exactly what Peter did, and he did tremendous things. The same thing is true for us. If we are willing to say, yes, Lord, you know that we love you. You know that we want to follow you.